Hello and welcome.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
It's the podcast.
Yay.
We're trying to get Ryan to do something really energetic and crazy.
This is about as energetic as I get.
Why don't you just apologize now.
I'm sorry.
I've seen you get much more energetic discussing Mega Man.
Well, that's Mega Man. That's different.
And that was also partly due to Shane.
That's not.
Oh yeah, Shane's stupid. He's a hater.
Wow. No, you went all crazy with the Murlocs making that noise all the time. I love that sound.
No, hey, speaking of Shane, was it this podcast that we told people about Shane Watt?
Yeah, and it got over 1,000 users supposedly without him knowing, but he claims he knew on the second day. So yeah. I guess that's not true.
I don't know if he knew. So. I don't know if he knew. Did he know?
Whoever spoiled that, way to go.
Well, technically it was spoiled on Gaff, and then it got deleted. But, I mean, in that span of time, I mean, Shane's always on Gaff.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer.
Shane Watch.
So he was writing all those posts anyway.
Well, the reins were surrendered to him, so if he wants to, he can keep informing people what he's doing.
That's not nearly as cool.
It's so much better as a third person, like Shane watching.
It was so much better when I thought
Shane
that,
got a sandwich. Shane when I got thought,
exactly.
a tuna
exactly.
sandwich.
I thought it was better when we had to like investigate. Like, what do you have for lunch there? Looks delicious. I don't really care. I just want to know so I can type it out.
See, I think that's a novel kind of internet entertainment. I would tune in to read about various people if it wasn't them talking about themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone reporting on their life, like digging through their trash and taking direct quotes from
conversations. What would you find in Shane's trash?
A lot of manga.
I don't think Shane has a garbage can. Look at his office.
We should take pictures.
Yeah, that needs photo evidence backup.
Did you guys ever see when he was like in a cube? Did you ever?
Yeah, he looked like he had like an inch of workspace on any one side. Yeah.
He had at least 5 Jar Jar Binks toys.
Oh, he has a Jar Jar Binks. Yeah.
It looked like he needed an office, and now that he has an office, it looks like he needs another one.
No, now that he has an office, it looks like he needs a flea market.
We should just call this Hate Watch. So, you guys,
the host of the show Shane. That opened this up, that's Ryan Scott.
Ryan.
This is Ryan
and I'm
Scott.
I'm
this
Anthony.
Is our unnamed, still unnamed PC podcast. Still
really?
It's the because... One Up Mystery Cast. Sorry.
We're waiting on sign offs from the higher ups.
I would just like to point out that this if we were to continue the trend, that this would be X15.
Okay.
Yeah. When it was called X13.
Welcome to podcast X15.
This is your host, Ryan
Engage.
Scott. I'm Anthony Gagos. To my left,
Tina.
Robert Ashley.
Matt Chandernay.
Yay.
I'm so exciting.
And normally Andrew would be putting shit together for us, but now we have Garnet.
Yay, Garnet.
Yay.
Thank
hooray.
You.
If you're wondering what people are eating right now, like everyone is always eating here. Somebody went on a bubble tea run.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some macadamia nuts.
That
glazed.
Garnet gave me.
These are awesome.
Yeah, those are tasty.
One of yours listeners sent these in to me.
Oh, nice.
I just ate about 5,000 of them.
So speaking of food, though.
Yeah.
Some user got a hold of Tina. And was like, I want to send you guys candy and money. And remember how you were like, only a $20 denomination?
You took it seriously.
He sent money?
No, he was going to. He's like, okay, just give me an address so I can send the money and the candy.
and then I wrote back and I told him that we'll only accept gold doubloons in chocolate form. And then he got really nervous and he said he'll give us cacao beans instead.
Yeah, he said the gold doubloons were hard to find right now. And I was like, it's Halloween.
Yeah, the economy tanked, so everyone's putting their money in gold, man. It's hard to find that stuff. That's too bad, though, that you turned him down on the money. I could really use that.
No, I mean,
yeah.
I'm telling you, we should still decide.
No, why do you have to have it there? Like, yeah. Lift it up higher.
Chuff,
seriously, dude. That's
Chuff has this t-shirt that someone sent him.
His name is Dean. Dean, I helped. Dean sent me some writing samples, and I told him I'd pass them on, which I did pass on to you today.
Wait, but so. Let's describe this, Robert. So what do you see here?
What I see there is a giant anthropomorphic pickle with the face of Howdy Doody and a red baseball cap on that says GFW, and he's eating a hoagie.
I think it's a pizza, actually, but the
it has lettuce on it.
Oh, okay.
It has lettuce on it, so it's the irony of a pickle eating a hoagie instead of a hoagie eating a pickle. pickle. And
where's the lightsaber?
And he has a lightsaber, and it's in a very suggestive place. And right when Anthony was showing us the T-shirt, he had the pickle in a very suggestive place.
He put it on his crotch.
And then it says on the back.
I was being a little more roundabout than that. On the back, it says, Chuff It Out 2008.
And it says, when I got the piece of paper, it said it was a one-of-a-kind shirt. There's only one of this.
I would have thought that there'd be thousands in production. The main thing that was like the fact that it says 2008, it kind of makes it out of date pretty soon.
The only thing that's
going to need a 2009.
The only other thing that sucks is that it's an extra large.
Yeah,
so this is like a 90.
Wow, that really evokes some images for me.
It's a
you wear tidy whities. Can I picture you in tidy whities in that shirt?
So I'm gonna fess up right now.
You do?
I have five pairs of tidies, but they're not whities. They're all like various colors. The reason I have these is because in high school there was a superhero day, and I wore like some I wore some black running tights, and then over them I pulled this pair of like green tidies. You know, over the running tights to have the superhero appearance, because you know superheroes
You said colors plural.
Yeah. So, but when I bought them, it came in like a pack of five. And I've never been able to bring myself to just throw them away because that seems so wasteful. So there are times that, you know, like laundry situation gets desperate, and the one thing I won't ever double up on is underwear.
Time for the tiny greenies.
Occasionally I wear the tiny.
That's okay.
I don't need
That's
okay. Notice.
When I was in middle school,
my roommate calls them manties.
I wore.
Oh my god.
When I was in middle school, I wore bikini.
You wear them
briefs.
For your roommate?
Nuh-uh.
I did wear bikini briefs because my mom thought that was really forward thinking and modern. This was around, I don't know,
what is bikini
1989.
Briefs? It's tidies?
No, they're, you know, panties for men. and it was a really inconvenient time to begin wearing them because it was, you know, right when you start changing out for gym at sixth grade. And everyone's like, nice panties, Ashley. And instead of demanding that my mom buy me regular underwear, I stood by them. I was like, no, these are cool. You guys just don't know. When you get older, this is what you're going to be wearing. The ladies think they are so sexy, you know.
Is that what you told people?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Do you still wear them?
No.
You know, that does remind me that I did have a tough time finding underwear. Like, I don't know. This was when I was in high school. And like I went out to Macy's or whatever it was to buy some fucking underwear, and all I saw were like Speedo sized underwear, which apparently were these manties of which you refer.
Yeah.
And boxers, which I didn't wear at the time.
Yeah, well, now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know boxers are the only way. Anyway.
See, what I wear is extra, extra large man's briefs.
You just go around looking like you've got a load.
No, I can't. Yeah. I swear I don't. Anyways.
Games.
Mr. Scott.
I'm picturing, pinning
up. You hear that, Photoshoppers.
I'm pinning boxer briefs on Ryan Scott. That's what I'm picturing.
I'm not getting into this conversation.
Well, I mean, if you've ever seen him with a shirt off, he basically looks like Marky Mark. So I think he's one of the few guys.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah, who could sport those. He's just got the rock solid.
Goddamn.
That reminds me of a Photoshop someone did of Dad, and they put his face on a...
Dad meaning Jeff Green?
Yes.
Okay.
Calvin Klein model. Because it was a serious face. Like, he looked pissed off. It was awesome.
He was pissed off that he was a Calvin Klein model.
Nice.
So, what games has anyone been playing that are actually PC games?
Every fucking game. I'm going insane, like playing way too many games.
There's so much shit
on PC?
Out.
Like,
on everything. I'm playing games on my watch.
Did you upgrade
I'm playing like my PSP.
Did you upgrade your PC finally?
No, I totally screwed up on the processor. I was stupid. I thought all I had to get right was the socket. I don't want to get super into this, but I got the wrong processor and went ahead and installed it. I'm hoping that I get all my money back from Newegg, but maybe not. I didn't have it, like the front side bus wasn't compatible, and it was like 45 nanometer instead of 65. My motherboard was
Icky.
Like, fuck you, and this sucks. Apparently, like I'll have to go on eBay and find something that fits mine.
It's okay. I was just gonna ask Anthony, did you fix your motherboard?
Yeah, but I replaced my motherboard, and then it wasn't that, and I don't really want to say what it was, because then just basically a fresh install Windows fixed it. Yeah. But I still feel like it's hard because, you know, I had to like, you know, now I have an extra motherboard just sitting in a box.
So
I'm going to donate to Matt Chandranay's
cause. That's hard, man. That's hard.
So yeah, we can
my,
have
my PC
brief.
Upgrading cause.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm already in hot anticipation of. I bought Far Cry and Fallout, both for the PC. And, like, you know, if I bought them for the 360, I could be playing them right now. But no, I'm going to fucking wait until I got my new awesome rig to go play some games.
Delayed gratification.
Exactly.
Man.
I mean, it's not like there aren't plenty of other games for you to kill your time with right now, as it is.
Yeah, it's not like I'm, like, you know, walking through the desert with a canteen of water as my only companion.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So have you... As far as PC games, though?
How about PC games, which are also console games, but which I'm playing on a console, such as Fallout 3. I actually have it on my PC, too, but I really don't want to sit there and play a long RPG on my PC, like a single-player game.
Because you can't, like, lay in your couch?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm only up for playing multiplayer games or casual games or something really exciting and action-oriented on my PC most times, like a first-person shooter or something. So
see, I used to feel that way until I got a really nice chair.
Yeah.
And now it's like it's totally doable.
For me, it's mainly that I've got back issues because I'm an old man.
Or because you sit poorly?
No, actually, I have good posture in my home chair. I have a very evil computer chair that makes you sit completely up straight the whole time, right? You work on it. So you can't really relax ever. And so when it's time for me to do my relaxing, I'm usually on the couch.
So then you're right.
So then you have poor posture on the couch.
Yeah. Bad.
No, I don't have poor posture on the couch because I lay on the couch. And laying is good for my back and good for my heart. And it provides this great place where you put your beer right on top there. It's pretty good.
Ryan, have you actually been playing anything or has it been all reviews?
I've been playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, are you a zombie?
They stopped that on Monday, unfortunately.
I was a zombie.
What do you mean they stopped it?
You can't become a zombie anymore. Like, you can't get the infection.
They turn off, like, world events like that. Sometimes just, like, during Christmas, there's, like, a Christmas quest, and then, like, you'll get in there at one point, and then they'll disappear.
So then Karen doesn't have to worry anymore. She isn't a zombie?
No.
Well, tell me that they ended it by having someone go around blowing everyone's heads off.
Or you had to, like, wait in line to get the cure. Like, you actually had to sit there and do it.
You
the cure is
did.
Literally someone
really?
Standing there with a shotgun blowing heads off, just one after another.
People would turn into zombies and they would go kill the NPC that cured you.
Yeah.
So...
And then, like, towards the end there, they made it really hard, because at the beginning it could be that a paladin could cure you, like, with one spell, but they made it really hard to dispel. It took, like, five in a row or something like that.
Really?
Anyway.
Well, and it got to the point, like, you would get this infection, and it would just take 1 minute, and then, boom, you're a zombie.
Yep.
And that happened to me. Like, at one point that happened to me, and I'm, like, running around, like, oh, God, 1 minute, 1 minute. I'm running around, like, freaking Indiana Jones on the... doomed nuclear test site looking for a way
looking
out
for the fridge.
Yeah. And like I was like, crap, I can't find the healer. And so I turn into a zombie and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna be cool, walk through the city, I'm not gonna hurt anybody. Okay. And then I got up to the point where, like, okay, well, here's where the NPC should be, but he's dead. Okay, which coincidentally was right next to, like, the innkeeper and the flight master and all the important NPCs. So I'm like, I'm going to wait here patiently for this guy to respawn.
No, you're going to
die. And then somebody attacked me. So I was like, explode and infect everybody.
Oh, nice.
Like, if you want to play that game,
yep.
I can play it better than you.
Mr. Scott.
But in general, I am incredibly frustrated by the number of games that I'm trying to play at once.
I agree.
And it gets to the point to where I want to just focus in on things that I actually care about. Do you ever feel like when you're obsessed with games, you kind of want to try everything that anybody is into just to check it out? And sometimes I feel like I just want to... Regardless of the fact that there are lots of great games out, I just want to focus on the things that I have particular interest in.
What are you playing? Give us the list.
Yeah.
I'm playing Fallout 3. I'm playing Saints Row 2, which I'm not that interested in. I don't know why I'm playing it so much.
Fable.
I'm playing Fable 2. I'm playing Mega Man 9 and World of Goo and Peggle Knights and World of Warcraft.
Holy
and,
crap.
Are you playing World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I have a friend in New York who calls me every other day, and he's like, hey, man, do you want to play some WoW? Come on. Like, he started a new character with me, and so now I'm his way of justifying getting in and playing it.
Right.
So, are you Alliance or Horde?
I am Alliance.
Did he recruit a friend on you so you get like?
No, I did it because I was writing a story, so I had to play WoW for the first time, and so I recruited him.
And
I
was
like, dude, I have to play WoW. It's pretty fun. I will say I've only put maybe 15 hours into it.
Only.
Do you ever feel a little bit douchey when you say like, oh, I have so many games to play? Because like I feel that way sometimes. Like I say that I'll go, oh, I have so many games to play, and it's like, dude, there's a war going on. It's like, yeah, you can't help, like, you know, like,
it's not
one and the other kind of thing.
I don't feel like it's a burden or anything. I just feel like I'm a really scattered person already.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person that is just drowning in information flow constantly. And games have become a part of that. You know,
it's totally true.
Games just become another one of these things that I, you know, bunny hop between like a schizophrenic freak, you know.
Yeah.
On Sunday I was switching between World of Warcraft and Fable and the new Castlevania game.
Right.
And something else, like, oh, Crisis Warhead. And I was just
flipping around. What do you think about Warhead? I've been playing that too.
It's really fun. I mean, I feel like it has a lot less downtime than the first Crisis game. It's super, you know, it's all composed of those really fun set piece kind of battles that the first game had. And I'm enjoying that.
Cool.
Do you enjoy playing as Psycho? Are you Psycho enough? That was the tagline.
I can't honestly say that I really noticed that the character is a different character, given the fact that it's a first person shooter and that it's so maximum fucking cheesy. Speed. You know, I mean, it's
you can make the voice a woman if you want.
Yeah, I know, but the guy voice does sound cooler.
Yeah.
Maximum speed.
Yeah. Yeah, that game is really, I don't know, it's got a great workflow to it, you know, where you really make these split decisions on strategy and it pays off sort of, you know, on the fly. You would expect it to. You can sort of say, oh, I'm going to do this and make it happen, and half the time it really does happen, and you feel like a badass.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. Like in that game, there was like, I was assaulting this village and I drove in with a car.
Yeah,
and then the car got all fucked up, so I jumped out and ran into the nearest shed, and then a guy chucked a grenade in there, and the whole shed fell on top of me.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had to, like, jump my way out, and then jumped up to the roof of another building and was fighting from up there.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, you're right, the little set pieces like that where you're like, I'm going to jump up on top of this building and see if that works, and you're like, and it does, and you're like, fuck, yeah, hell
so, so,
yeah.
So, so do you mean set pieces as in, like, you know, Call of Duty style big, big set pieces?
Except Call of Duty is I think, a lot more sort of structured and
right,
everything.
This one's still structured a lot more in the sense of like,
sure,
than the first one was. But yeah, that's like, you'll enter an area and there'll be like a big playground. So
yeah,
within this gigantic playground, but it's like, you could tell that they designed like this like 300-yard by 300-yard square.
You're putting your hand with the intent, right in front of Ryan's
with
face.
The intent of like, we're gonna throw a couple vehicles in here, a few houses and key places.
Yeah, what I guess I mean is that in the first Crisis you had those big moments in the game where it was all about coming up with a way to approach them and having fun with a big area full of dudes, basically.
Right.
But they were scattered between a lot more sort of conflicts with smaller groups of guys that you'd run into as you were traversing the island. This is one after the other, these big areas that you run into. And,
nice.
I don't know. It's, it just doesn't really have nearly as much downtime. Tina is towering over us
in
her chair right now. I feel like you're going to give us some advice.
A lecture?
Yeah.
No. Well, you mentioned Call of Duty. What were you saying about Call of Duty?
You're like, Call of Duty. I love Call of Duty.
It's the only game I ever played.
That's all the segue you need.
Call of Duty, as far as the ones that Infinity Ward goes, they're like the perfect example of like how to make
game.
A super scripted game that is still awesome.
Yeah, I know I mentioned this in the One Up show, but it was cut out. Am I allowed to say it here that I'm an Infinity Ward fangirl?
You don't want to say that.
It's fine. You can say it.
I mean, I don't want to say it.
Does that just
does that mean that?
And it wasn't cut out because you're not allowed to say it. It was cut out because like we had a long show and we had to cut
it out. Yeah, yeah. What were you saying, Rob?
I mean, what does that mean exactly? I mean, do you?
It means that it doesn't matter.
Team members.
If they put out a piece of shit, she'll still love it. at this point. That's what a fan, fan person means to me.
Oh, I don't know.
That's what it, when I when I think of a Nintendo fanboy, they're like, Nintendo, they're like, do no wrong.
Wii music is way better than Rock Band, guys.
I have a friend.
Really creative.
I have a friend. No, this friend is not me because I'm sure you're going to make this joke.
We know that your friend's actually your mother.
Well, you know, I ruled that out.
All right.
I have a friend who, he's like, hell yeah, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
Oh,
it's
going to
be so good. I'm going to play that because he's a big DC fan. And, like, he doesn't even like fighting games. Like, he won't play Soul Calibur. And he's like, oh, Street Fighter's lame. But, like, you're going to play this?
Yeah. So, you know what? That game is bizarrely appealing to me every time I see screens of it because it's just jarring.
Yeah.
And ever since I saw the infamous Joker fatality, have you guys
seen it? They've toned it all down, though, to get a T rating.
No way.
Really?
Did they get rid of that?
I don't know.
It
was really awesome. It was a fatality where you're the Joker and you pull out a gun, you stick it next to the other person's temple, and he pulls the trigger and, you know, a flag comes out that says bang, and the other person is like noticeably relieved. They're like, oh, thank God. And then he shoots, like, right when the other person is relieved, then he shoots them for real.
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe, but it's a good visual comedy thing.
It's a good Joker thing.
Yeah, it works. And I'm not even really a big comic book nerd, but there's something about... I guess, actually, I have some nostalgia for back when I thought that Mortal Kombat was totally
amazing.
Rad.
It was.
Yeah, I mean,
I really don't think it ever was.
Years
you didn't like it enough?
And, like, I did, though, but I think I was fooled. Because it was like, it was so crazy fucking violent, you know, that I was like, this is so awesome.
Mortal Kombat 2. I thought it was one of the
Mortal Kombat 2
games.
We all used to play on Genesis.
It doesn't hold up, but at the time, what worked with it was that it really was super visceral in a way that you take for granted from games now. Specifically, the sound. I feel like you guys remember what it was to do an uppercut in that game, and the subwoofer would go nuts. You'd do an uppercut, and it'd be like. Like, hit you in the chest. You really felt like you were doing something powerful compared to Street Fighter, where, you know, there was a lot of strategy and it was a really balanced game. And
I didn't have a subwoofer until like 2000.
I still don't have a subwoofer, but arcade cabinets certainly.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Are you being serious? You don't have a subwoofer right now?
No, I have old school shit.
Despite all that music you listen to and shit, like, you have the most absurd CD collection.
I don't need a subwoofer to listen to Led Zeppelin, brother.
It might just give you the lower tones that you might appreciate even more.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
I don't have surround sound. I just recently I finally got a modern receiver because I. For about 10 years, I've had this Marantz, you know, receiver from the 70s.
So, hold on. You got a modern receiver, but you don't have surround sound? Do you have one? Do you own any hip-hop CDs?
Yeah.
That should justify you having a subwoofer right there.
What I also have is a wife. And so, yeah, all of my big spending things have to be
ran by
very,
her.
Very, very planned out.
That's gotcha. True. I
and,
forget
and
about
right,
those.
Right now, yeah. Right now, surround sound doesn't really cut it in what I want. So.
Fair enough. And you also said the last podcast that she likes it quiet.
She does like it quiet. Yeah, so that doesn't really... She was really hard to convince when it came to the HDTV. Now she appreciates it.
I'm going to buy you for Christmas some surround sound headphones, man. That's what we need to get you.
Yeah. I was so surprised that those actually work.
Yeah.
Like, I just couldn't believe it until Ryan bought some. And, like, so I walked into his room and, like, his girlfriend used to go to bed really early. So he was there, like, you know, playing his headphones on. I'm like, dude, let me try those out. And I think it was... I think he got them... And I think it was like Call of Duty 4 that he was trying out with them.
Oh yeah.
And like, so I put them on. I played around for a little bit. I'm like, holy fuck! It sounds like something's behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
like
cool,
I couldn't
believe
it. That's cool. Yeah.
Jeff and I got a free pair from Dolby. 5.1 surround sound.
Nice.
Is that a plug?
Yeah.
Don't talk about them too much because I'm pretty sure didn't that come with a letter that was like.
Don't
to return product.
And then Jeff leaves. Yay. But yeah, it's cool when we're on Ventrilo and then I had to like do the special sound effects or whatever for you to make you louder and I heard you behind me. I was like, whoa.
Wow. Cool.
I'm right behind you now, Charlene.
Just like that, yeah.
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 And little do you know that that's exactly how Anthony is whenever he's on the show.
Ryan
bursts into song.
Ryan looks like he wants to say something.
What do you want to say,
I just
Ryan?
Look like that all the time. Oh. Go ahead.
You're on the verge of saying something.
Say
it. It does say suck, it. Though, that a lot of like the games right now that I would play on my PC, some of them I end up getting for console for the sheer fact of like multiplayer, and a lot of my friends don't play PC.
Well, screw that, though.
Tell them they're not really your friends.
Left 4 Dead is one of those games, and Valve games in general. I'll always buy on PC before I'd ever like. Mm-hmm. I got the Orange Box back when I did because I didn't have a good PC for console. Mm-hmm. But and I still think it's a great deal. But there's no substitute for playing Team Fortress on a PC as compared to the console one. It's not even comparable.
Totally agree.
So.
Yeah,
but Left 4 Dead is gonna be really good on the 360.
I have no doubt. That's why I'm going to buy it for both.
Right, but I think I'm definitely gonna want to play it on PC, especially because I want to have my rig here in the next week or so.
Right,
next week or two at least.
Yeah,
so. I'm gonna be gone for Thanksgiving week, but like.
Oh God, my parents don't have internet either. High speed. I won't be able to play
But the rest of the holidays are coming up, though, and I got to have my PC for that.
Do you guys all go home for Thanksgiving?
I don't have a wife, so...
So, yes.
I guess everyone here lives in California, or is from California.
Right. Yeah, it's like 3 hours for me.
Yeah.
No, my mom's in Idaho.
Wow. And you go back for Christmas, too?
My other mom's in Alaska. No, I'm only going to Idaho for Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, okay.
I'm the only one of my siblings who goes home for Thanksgiving.
I fucking hate winter.
You're the good one.
No, it's not that. It's that
you're the good one.
You know, it's that both my brother and sister are vegan, and my brother lives in Oregon, or now in Washington, so it's much more of an ordeal for him. My sister, she lives in Oakland where I live, but she goes and feeds turkeys on Thanksgiving, actually.
So,
that's what she does.
She's just pissing in the wind. She goes, I mean, I'm a vegetarian, but come on.
Yeah.
No, my sister just likes to go to Farm Sanctuary. I mean, she also donates to them all the time.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Wow, that's cool. So,
I can't wait to go home and bring my games back. My parents always get a kick out of that.
Really?
Mom always gets upset. She's like, what are you playing?
My dad loves it.
You can't wait till you can show your parents Diablo 3, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. My dad's going to be surprised. But
what do you bring with you? Do you bring a whole console with you? Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my parents have cable internet, so it's all good. But
my parents don't.
When I wrote the Left 4 Dead preview, I sent it to my mom. I'm like, look, Mom, I'm on the internet. And
she's writing about zombies.
She's like, zombies, Tina, what are you doing? And yeah.
Oh, no.
She was concerned.
See, I see my yearly pilgrimage back to Texas as an opportunity to detox from games.
Right.
I don't watch TV. I don't do any. I hang out with my family. I read some books.
It's basically
I take games home, but a lot of times I don't even end up playing anything besides maybe a little bit of DS or PSP. Mm. Beyond that, anytime I go home, it's usually for a holiday, which means some person that I'm interested in reconnecting with from my earlier life is there, so I end up hanging out with them.
Yeah.
As opposed to just
I'll take a portable with me for the plane ride, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this would be a good time to use my laptop, my Mac, and finally place 4. Yay.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, don't count on it occupying more than a couple hours of your time.
Yeah?
Unless you're like me, though, and you really get into the editors, which I totally did.
Yeah.
Right. Matt sat there, and the cool thing was
fucking loved it.
Was a lot of people just blow right through it, but with Matt, the reason his took forever and was cool was because he very much understood the theme of his race. It was Matt was creating a race for an RTS or something like that. Yeah. All his buildings looked like they belonged to his race. All his ships looked like they belonged to his race.
Maybe at some point they'll come up with some sort of game you can play with those. It'd be cool.
It was
I'm sure they'll do it.
But for me, they announced an expansion and everything recently. So
yeah. Isn't it just googly eyes that
it's
you can
It's more creature parts and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. We have it here in the building right now. So.
Yeah.
But I think that's just the... clearly that's just the start. This is their platform for the next couple of years, I'm sure.
Until Sims 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the, what would, whenever it would get to a part where it would open up another editor,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay, you're in the whatever age now, and, you're in the civilization stage, build your vehicles, and I'm all, fuck yeah, I'll build my vehicles. I'm going to build my town hall, and I'm going to build my military version, and my peace version, and... A religious version,
wow.
And everything.
Wow.
So it's if I think if you I don't know, it strummed that creative chord or whatever in my body that's always made me want to be a 3D guy. You know, my degree is in 3D animation. So maybe that's where it comes from, is because all these tools are so much simpler to create cool shit out of than like Maya.
Yeah.
Matt's desire to engineer buildings and stuff. I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking to myself, when the zombie apocalypse happens, oh, God. I'm kidnapping this guy from my colony. Matt just going to arrive at Matt's house and be like, what's going on? And he won't even hear the
news
yet.
Build a
I'm just
going to
bag his head and be like, shut up, get in my car. And then I'm going to drive to the first hospital I see. You doctor. In the car.
Then you drive to, you know, a nice part of the neighborhood and find yourself wife.
Yeah, exactly. Set up.
New chef love.
Yeah. My compound.
Have you, since you're into the making stuff, have you played any Little Big Planet?
I played the beta like crazy.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
Did you make stuff?
I did. I made stuff. In fact, the first thing that I made in Little Big Planet was like I tried to make an escort mission.
Yeah.
Which like kind of throws a lot of people on their asses because they hate escort missions.
there are a few in the game in the single.
That's what people
play.
Have told me. Yeah, I just got
they're
the
actually
retail
pretty fun.
Today.
Yeah,
cool.
Did you buy it?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to. I just haven't yet. Yeah.
I actually played through all the.
I bought Oblivion for the PC way back in the day, even though I didn't have a PC that could run it, and that was the last time I thought I was going to upgrade my PC was when Oblivion came out, and I never actually did it. But I still have my shrink-wrapped, sealed, boxed copy of Oblivion because I wanted the Elder Scrolls construction set.
Mm.
Because I played around with the Elder Scrolls construction set when Morrowind came out for the PC, and like I built little mods and stuff like that, but I never quite got, you know, my grand vision out the door.
Is that how people make all those videos you always see online of like the crazy Rube Goldberg things where it's like books stacking over into books,
oh, yeah.
like launching people through the air
totally,
and stuff like
dude,
that?
The Elder Scrolls construction sets are fucking awesome. They're so... Because I also picked up Neverwinter Nights, the first one, because I thought the construction set was going to be all super easy to use and everything, and it turned out to be fucking arcane as hell. And like you, and I remembered getting the strategy guide for it because it was supposed to have... It was basically the only documentation you could find right when the game came out for how to use the construction set. And literally in the construction... And literally like in the strategy guide or whatever, it said, so the Neverwinter Nights... language that you use to, you know, do custom things for your modules will be familiar to anyone who's familiar with C. I'm like, oh, great. That's a good start. And so anybody who can already do a programming language can do stuff for Neverwinter Nights. And like it, and like some of its other directions were like, if you want to figure out how to do something, find something similar in the single-player game and then take that script and put it in yours. And I'm like, really? So I have to play through the single-player game and take notes on when an NPC does something that I want them to do. And then I have to go through like your all through the archive of everything that's in the game and try to find that script that references it. And you're not even going to tell me how to... So anyway, like construction sets...
Damn, you lost me.
No,
All I'm thinking is
Matt needs to quit this job and go work for development studios. Are you thinking about making a scripting program where you can make shit? Let me tell you why you're just stupid.
No, that's awesome.
So, but like clearly people get it because Neverwinter Nights had one of the biggest mod communities for any RPG ever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe I'm just stupid when it comes to this
shit. I don't know.
Elder Scrolls one was so easy. Like, I got it right away and was making stuff right away. But maybe it's not as feature rich.
I was going to say, I mean, I just think if you give people the option to do it, there will always be the people out there that will sit there and put way too many hours of time into it and take advantage of it.
I'm not going to do it for Far Cry, though.
One of EGM's old editors, Joe Fielder, he got his job, his current job with EA.
Hey, Sorry.
Through, He like designed levels in Neverwinter Night and used that as part of his like application.
Wow.
That's because like BioWare had it on their site that they were offering a job for a game designer, and the big prerequisite was build a Neverwinter Nights module and then send it to them, and that's how you got your interview.
The thing that he wound up getting? Or was that
Oh, I don't know.
Joe Fielder went on to work on like Medal of Honor or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not actually looking. Looking to go into development. Like, if I ever made, I think like this is something that was new to me. Like a couple years ago, was that like if I ever decided to make a game, it would be my own game. I don't really want to go work for somebody. But I actually really like being in games media.
What were you saying, Anthony?
I was going to say this podcast goes up on Thursday, right? Tomorrow.
So, I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. Then I'll talk about it. I just realized that I had also checked out another PC game recently. It's not really that crazy, but it's GTA 4 for PC.
Yay.
Awesome.
The GTA sounds so exciting.
Well, no, but it does have some really cool features, man. Like the ability to use a controller and a keyboard mouse at the same time, which sounds like a stupid thing, but a lot of games don't allow you to do that.
Really? Like,
I didn't know that. Why would you want to?
So, I did see. So, like, driving feels a lot better, in my opinion, on a controller. And then, like, the second you get out, you can instantly move to the mouse and keyboard. And, like, with the mouse and keyboard, you can still do, like, the type of headshots you'd expect with the mouse.
Cool.
And, but, you know, then again, anytime you can switch. So, they're both running at the same time, which is, like, you know, most games make you choose one or the other.
And actually, that, I didn't know that, I guess, because I don't play many controllers.
Yeah, I actually think that Gears of War for PC. Windows might have been, yeah, the first game that did that.
And that makes a lot of sense.
And it also has, like, a slider now for traffic, so if you have a computer that can handle it, you can make, like, the city look like an actual city with, like, obscene amounts of traffic everywhere and stuff like that.
Nice.
Whoa, shit.
And but the coolest thing by far is the video editor that they're adding, because it was like, it's like a poor man's Final Cut, like the way it works. Like, yeah, you at any time you can hit like a F6 or something, and it records like the last 30 to 60 seconds of gameplay, and then you can actually pull the camera out from your character, because it's, since it's all rendered, you can actually literally move the camera anywhere, position it behind whatever character's on screen, add all these crazy filters.
Damn.
Slow it up, speed it up.
Right.
Like, it's like, it actually...
I still love that about the original Driver. Did you guys, anybody ever play that?
No, that had a video.
It had a video cut, like the same thing basically. You could go back and edit together your own little car chase thing, and it was pretty intense for PlayStation.
Well, I watched Scooter do it, and like even in just 5 minutes of him dicking around, not knowing what he was doing, he made like an awesome clip of him riding a motorcycle, headshotting this dude, and then hitting his motorcycle into the car and then getting run over. and then he layered it all to this like crazy Russian music, because you can use music from the game and stuff like that.
They should just have auto export to YouTube.
Well, so it's funny that you say it, because you can export it in three things. You can export it in 720p, 480i, and then you can export it in the file that's made for web.
Huh.
And then instantly through the PC thing, you can upload it to Rockstar Social Club, their website. And then like, so when you enter the main menu of GTA 4, it's like play game, multiplayer on one side, and then on the other side is a constantly updating social club page.
Crazy.
So then there will be like top videos of today, and you can like, they're user voted on. So people that make videos can vote them up, and you can check out the videos that people make and that sort of thing. It seems like, I mean, for someone like me who already has it on 360, I don't know that it's enough to make me go out and buy it a second time.
Right.
But I mean, for like people that haven't gotten it yet, that's like pretty cool, especially because they said, you know, like when San Andreas was out and stuff, people were already making like a machina of like it just using like, you know, capture stuff and moving shit in the right way. But this, like, they think will actually make people actually make some really cool videos.
Really cool compilations of people falling from buildings.
I'm sure a lot of it'll be stupid, but they even showed like
with some crazy metal that's like.
It's funny you say that though, because they did show a couple of example videos, and one like where it was almost like there was the capability to tell like a narrative if you wanted by scripting things with the right angles and like slow motions at the right times and with the right music. It still got across something like a movie trailer would or something like that, even though it was just GTA.
I'm a fan of machinima.
Yeah.
I think that could be cool.
So yeah, I think it'll be cool to see what people do. I mean, no doubt you're going to see all these videos springing up on YouTube once that happens.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
I don't know.
Nice, dude.
I mean, it's like the most effort I've seen.
So are they doing the zombie thing in the PC version?
That's,
I don't know.
What
so isn't
ask.
That zombie thing? It's just a rumor at this point, right?
No, it actually happened on Xbox Live, I think.
No, it didn't.
Stuff, didn't it?
No way. I'd be playing it right now.
Was it a rumor?
Yeah, it's just for now. They think that that might be what the 360 exclusive content might be.
Oh, lame.
But,
yeah.
I mean, either way, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone mod GTA 4 to have all that sort of stuff, just like they modded San Andreas to have multiplayer and stuff.
That's true.
So, I mean, I think that it's cool because, you know, a lot of companies like a lot of Capcom games I've seen get ported to PC are just like terrible ports that it's just like not even like a menu system or that sort of thing. And then like you can tell like the guys at Rockstar, I mean, they didn't just like assign it to a B team to just do a crappy cash in.
I actually put
some time into it.
Yeah, for some reason I ended back when I worked for one of our competitors, for some reason I ended up playing Vice City on the PS2, the Xbox One, and on PC. And the PC version, the PC version was totally my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it felt right, and it felt like it wasn't just a console port.
Yeah, and it's going to be available on Steam.
So. I can sort of see the direction things are headed to, you know, all these games being released on console and then being released on PC sort of as the Criterion Collection of the game.
That's a good way to put it.
It's the final super nice version if you've got the money to run it.
Right, I was going to say, I mean, GTA 4 also runs at a higher resolution and like better frame rate if you have the rig to run it.
I'm sure you got that fancy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
nice. Is anyone playing Fallout?
I will be.
I will be as well. But
once my new rig is together.
People always think we don't have to buy games, but we do. And right now I'm like budgeting my money to Little Big Planet and Gears next week. And I'm also considering buying Resistance. So
see, I wasn't gonna do Resistance because Resistance has always felt to me like an also-ran. And it's just not, But David Ellis was telling me that the co-op is fully awesome. Is
And you know, and I liked the first Resistance well enough, so
I didn't.
I couldn't make myself play through that, and it was the only game that I cared about. On
it
the
made
PS3.
Me angry.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed Warhawk too, as far as early PS3 games went. Early
that was that early.
Early-ish.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Every time I turn on my PS3, I like dust it off. I'm like, all right, I have an itch to finally, you know, use you. Turn it on. It's like update whatever 2.5. I'm like, okay, screw this.
For 40 minutes.
Download it, yeah.
And then install the game that you want to play.
Yeah, and then by that time I'm like, oh, screw this. I'm gonna like.
So what funny. Is every, what every is time I turn? Sorry, I was just gonna say every time I turn on my PS3, it's like time to watch some Wire.
Yeah.
So what is it about installing games on PCs that's acceptable but not installing them on a PS3 isn't?
I don't mind the installation.
It's always been
I think when I'm on a PC I can hit alt tab and I can still do bullshit in the background while it's installing.
I don't mind the installation on PS3. I mind the updates and the frequency and the annoyance of them. I was like the other night I was trying to show my friend Little Big Planet and suddenly there was this mandatory update, and the update was taking forever to download. And it's like the game was working. The game was working the day before. There was nothing broken about it. But now you're going to make me update it, make me not be able to play it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the nice thing. Whenever they do updates on Xbox Live, it's like, do you want to update? And it takes like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Well, it's because like on the Xbox, it's a patch. And what I've been told, I can't confirm this because I don't know the technicalities of it, but what I've been told is that the PS3, you're actually downloading the whole operating system again and installing it. You're not just downloading a tiny patch.
Oh, that's for the system update. But I'm talking about these game updates. The game updates are so irritating.
Maybe you should just... if you're going to show something to somebody, just make sure you unplug your PS3 from the wall.
Yeah, just take out the Ethernet cord.
That's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. We ended up not even playing it because I was like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah. It's like, update now, bitch.
Yeah.
So we've been playing another game that we're going to review soon.
Another zombie game.
Well, it has zombies in it. Call of Duty World at War.
Sounds Germans cool. aren't zombies.
They are now. They have a... What am I allowed to say, Ryan?
Wolfenstein disagrees.
They've announced that there's a zombie
mode. Nazi zombies.
Yeah, that's public knowledge that it exists.
It's fun.
Cannot even imagine...
It's so out of place, though.
I cannot even imagine how you get zombies into a World War II shooter.
Well, they're not, like, in the actual, like,
it's not
campaign.
An actual...
It's just a bonus
story.
Multiplayer mode where you're in a building... And you're trying to hold off zombies for as long as you can with friends. That's it.
It just crosses the bounds of taste.
It's kind of like...
Yes, I know that we're used to playing World War II games, but yes, millions of people died.
Yeah, right. And, you know, this one also got rid of the war quotes as well. There are no war quotes when you die before you respawn. Just... You die.
I guess they couldn't coexist with the zombie mode. It just didn't seem right.
This game also ups like the violence, which I guess you could say is also like a like, you know, Call of Duty 2 acknowledged that there was a lot of horrible things that happened, but when you shot guys, it was like ketchup packets were exploding under them, and there was like no actual blood. This one, it's like blood pools on the ground.
It's like Tina friendly.
People are getting stabbed in the throat.
It is.
Last night, I saw someone throw a grenade at a truck where guys were getting out, and one guy got
blown up.
His legs got blown off at the knee. And his two little bony, bloody stumps were sticking, and he was, like, reaching to try and grab them before he died.
Quentin Tarantino. Call of Duty.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Violence. It is so good that most of the people, you know, who were in our armed forces during that conflict are dead and can't know that this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Like, and I was watching my roommate take a stab at it, and he like had a shotgun and shot some dude's face, and it was just like, I saw a chunk with a stream of blood just go across the room, and I was like, I cannot believe that just happened. I felt like an old ass man for a second. I was like, rated R. My child will not play this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's definitely, it should be a maturity
Tina's
game,
like,
which
it's
it is.
It's sort of tame.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Whatever, like, I stabbed the guy in the
Fallout.
Neck.
Call of Duty.
She wants to see a headshot result in a slow motion launch of someone's head
Tina
over
just,
20
Tina
yards.
Tina wants RoboCop.
Call of Duty 1 and 2 yes. were teen. And yeah. Four, I think 3 might have been teen still. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
4 was definitely mature with executions and all the swearing.
Like, if it's not AO,
this one's like,
I'm not playing
this is like
it.
A hard. This is like a hard
dude.
M.
Yeah, hard AO.
M. They should start that rating, hard M.
I'm saying that this if they had just done like maybe thrown in something sexual at one point, it would have pushed on to the AO rate, I bet.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
You could add something sexual to Wii Music and it'd get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, AO.
I'm just
yeah,
saying I mean, that like Brothers, yeah. Brothers in Arms did that like slow motion thing where you would headshot a dude and stuff. But imagine like, you know, like a troop carrying transport. It parks. Everyone tries to jump out and they all jump out Body at parks. Once onto a grenade. And yeah. then it just looks like a little meat salad. Like that's what it looked like. I was like, I cannot believe I'm seeing that.
I wish it had a T rating for Tina because that's what I approve of this violence. But yeah, it'll be fun to play on PC, don't you think? The multiplayer. Well, from what... Well, the beta's out, so...
But from what we played on the... I don't know. I still can't see myself... At this point,
really?
Going away from Call of Duty 4.
Well, that is
I don't
true.
Really know that I want to go
true,
back to,
the...
like...
Would you play the campaign?
Wait, this is made by the other folks, right?
Treyarch.
The people who made the Dreamcast version of Tony Hawk 2.
And they also made
It's made
Call
by
Duty 3.
Not Infinity Ward.
Call yes. of Duty 3. Yeah, but, I thought the tanks were really balanced when you were playing multiplayer.
Yeah, I haven't spent that much time with the multiplayer beta, to be fair. All I know is that the single player is violent as hell, and you kill Japanese people. Like, sometimes you use flamethrowers, because that was before we thought that those were cruel and inhumane, and you torch them, and they're just, like, writhing on the ground screaming.
Oh, you saw
it. Screaming for their life.
Weren't you watching me do that before the podcast? Like, some guy was coming at me.
I don't want to do
torched
that.
Him, and then he was, like, rolling on the ground, and then I just stood above
Tina's
him and torched
laughing.
Him some more. I'm just like,
wow.
Yeah.
they should
just add Peggle in the load screen so you can have a little palate cleanser after you
Dude,
feel so dirty.
Some guy, tried to stab Tina in the stomach, and she grabbed his gun. Shoved the bayonet to the side and pulled out her own knife and shoved it in the side of his throat.
And I was doing that. I was like watch,
choking
guys, watch.
For a second.
Tina, have you ever seen The Toxic Avenger?
I've heard of that cartoon and
no,
I briefly
no, not
saw
the
it.
Cartoon.
There was a cartoon when I was like 3.
I think you're thinking of The Toxic Crusader.
Yeah. The Toxic
no,
Avenger.
The Avenger. He looked
toxic,
ugly as
toxic
well,
Toxic
right?
Crusaders is the cartoon.
Yeah.
Toxic
yeah.
Crusaders
oh,
okay. is the cartoon.
You would like
I even
Toxic
remember the
Avenger.
Theme song.
Yeah.
Remember the Toxic
Should I be in for Halloween?
Crusaders.
No, you should watch that movie though. You like that's you want blood and all that, you'll love that movie.
All right, I'll go back to that.
You will. And you should, have you seen Grindhouse?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
that wasn't that bad.
Yeah. No. I don't know. In some ways,
have
I think
seen
that
Faces
that,
of Death?
That game like no. is like, people won't take a lesson away from it, but for me, like when I was seeing flamethrowers used in that game, I was like, this is exactly why we made those like an illegal weapon of warfare.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you'd see like, there was like, there's a guy in that tree
in that
trying
palm
to snipe
tree.
Us.
Let's,
so she's just like,
flame him out.
Yeah. And then the tree catches fire and
Can you
falls
imagine the
off.
Smell?
Yeah.
Ugh, I'd rather
I
not.
Can't.
Yeah.
No, it's weird though. Like, video game violence, totally. Maybe because it's still fake enough, doesn't like really faze me all that much. But like movie violence, like when you're not like you know Grindhouse stuff, which is kind of tongue in cheek, but
right.
like horror movie stuff, like I've still never been able to do it. Like I couldn't watch Saw or anything.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
Saw and all those are
no.
torture
Saw
porn.
Is, no.
uh-uh. But
those are good movies.
They're not good movies. Let's shut up, first of all.
Well,
there was a moment around the turn of the generations with the consoles that violence was disturbing to me in games for the first time. But then I tuned into the what made things low fidelity again, and it was Condemned. I was playing Condemned on the Xbox. I remember with a friend, and we were going around. You know, and that game is just brutally punching people in the face.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know. Hitting them with
two
bars
by fours
and
bars, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember playing that game and being like, oh my god, I don't know if I can play this. But we just kept on playing it and then started noticing the way that people popped out at you and the sort of repetitive animations and stuff and tuning into the fakeness of it until the point that it became kind of funny. you get used to it and then it becomes funny.
Right. I still playing Call of Duty, like, you know, no matter what, if I could play that still, and, you know, like I said, when I saw that drive-by, it still scared the shit out of me. I can't imagine games ever making me feel like I don't care about real-life violence, because honestly, that Call of Duty 5 meat salad was nothing compared to, like, a real-life meat salad.
I frequently wonder, you know, what the outcome of games having, like, a better representation of reality all the time will be, because you won't be able to have these kinds of games if they really do look real. People won't be able to play them, and
I don't know. I think you will. I think people will become. People will always be able to separate the fantasy of it from the reality of it. And I mean, like, it's the reason why I think a lot of the whole, you know, violent games creating violent kids is bullshit argument is just because youth violence has continued to go down.
Yeah, sure.
But over, like, the last,
and I'm not saying
years,
the danger, like, is that you're going to create a bunch of killers.
No, I know.
I'm saying the danger is that you create something that no one wants to play,
that
because it
actually
makes you feel like shit.
Right.
Like, you don't actually want to walk up to somebody on the street in a super realistic Grand Theft Auto and pull out your gun and have them say, "No, no, God, please don't shoot me," and, like, shoot them and them, you know, crumple on the ground and you know, see that in real life. You don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You don't want to play that game. You want to have them, like, flying off your hood, like they're made out of rubber.
Or like, you know, look at, like the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
You know, you could have shot any of those battle scenes, like, incredibly violent and visceral kind of stuff, but they're shot in sort of this romantic style where, you know, they're chopping up the enemies, and you're like, yeah, you know, good versus evil or whatever, but you're not seeing anybody, like, with their guts ripped out or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's it's like,
yeah, I guess it'll be
when we go past that uncanny valley, people will find ways around that
to sort of mask it and not make it so.
Yeah.
Robert, did we want to hit up on your homework?
Yeah, it's a quiz for those of you who didn't read the story.
Yeah, I'm screwed.
Who did or didn't?
Is it on Call of Duty?
It's not on Call of Duty.
Oh, damn.
It was something that we picked up off the boards, actually. It was a Gama Sutra
article called "Opinion: Are Critics Gamers?" ? I think not.
And the guy who wrote it
is, according to the byline, industry veteran Keith Boesky. I apologize, Mr. Keith. I'm going to make
Boesky,
your last
maybe?
Name. Boesky, maybe?
No.
A longstanding game agent and attorney, as well as former Eidos president.
But it was basically a story. It was a guy sort of writing a story about why he feels game critics are off the mark with what normal gamers play, according to the former
Metacritic president of a game publisher.
What's a normal game?
He basically went through and picked out a few games from this season that Metacritic has, you know, low ratings for, like Star Wars The Force Unleashed, but that have sold really well.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that's kind of evidence for game critics being out of touch with consumers,
which is funny. I mean, the premise itself is totally messed up, because I remember just recently a story getting forwarded around back when Shu was here about how game critics were the most in line with what was actually selling compared to TV and movies and all these other critics.
Well, a really big problem with this article is that he says that, as well as saying the other thing. So it's like I'm not really sure what he was trying to get at. He tried to clarify it a little bit later in the comments section, you know, when people were making all the comments and he replied to a bunch of people. And his reply made it sound like he was trying to say something in the article that he didn't say at all. And the article itself is just rife with weird contradictions and weird turns of phrase that don't seem to make any sense. And it's like, it seems like something that somebody banged out late at night after, you know, maybe
but we should,
one too
we should
many
give him,
fits of Hennessy.
We should give him, you know, a fair trial by saying what he was saying. He was basically arguing that game critics come from an older generation who didn't grow up with interactive stuff completely. You know, they didn't live in an interactive world. They still watched movies sometimes and played games other times, and so they weren't as accustomed to games that blended the two together and felt impatient with extended cutscenes and anything that tried to get them emotionally, which I thought was really funny, because one of the things that he points out was that that the best rated games on Metacritic were these super arcadey, non-emotional games that you can get on Xbox Live Arcade, like Braid.
Yeah, he says, the higher echelon of charts is dominated by XBLA games including Braid, Bionic Commando, Geometry Wars, Castle Crashers, Duke Nukem, and Mega Man. The common underlying factors are fun, superficial gameplay, and no emotional engagement.
Yeah,
and
he's saying this about Braid.
Yeah. And immediately, of course, the comment section went berserk about, like, how can you say this about Braid? And, like, I don't think he ever necessarily responded to that effectively. He did say that, I apologize for the mischaracterization of the narrative of Braid, which is every bit as engaging and tear-inducing as Eco, if not more. The better point
tear-inducing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. The better point would have been the lack of a steep learning curve. The game is more accessible than the lower-rated games. My point is Braid is much more old-school than the current crop price of full next-gen games. Only I stated it poorly. And it's like, you know, I think that backpedals a little bit, but in a different direction.
Yeah.
So wait, what is his overall message? I mean, like you say, he brings up Force Unleashed.
Right. That's just like, it.
The only reason that game sold well is because it had a marketing money machine behind it.
It's called Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So listen to this. This is why I don't understand this article and why it doesn't make sense to me and why I don't understand why it was promoted in the first place is because he says, where is it? There seems to be a growing divide between what critics are looking for and what the game business is building. And then many paragraphs later, he says, pop, quote unquote, in all media is easily accessible. It garners huge audiences because it entertains and does not challenge. Our critics, unlike the rest, seem to be embracing the quick fix, pick up and play pop games and rejecting the game equivalents of the latest Pynchon novel. And so which is weird to me because he said Force Unleashed is the
game equivalent of a Thomas Pynchon novel. That seems a little overboard.
It seems way overboard, and it almost seemed to me like he was saying that gamers are totally absorbed in the pop culture games.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to say that we're out of touch with consumers because we're not engaged with a game like The Force Unleashed, which is a pop culture game.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean, like, you know, contradictions.
I wonder if he's even played Force Unleashed, and then he'd realize it's just not good.
I mean, I'm sure that some people dig it. For me, though,
some people do dig it, but
for me, it's just that, you know, why I don't understand people who have such a problem with dissenting opinions on games.
Yeah.
That everyone should sort of be with the game or against the game. That there should be some sort of general agreement in the crowd.
Yeah,
I just get really sick of that. I mean, especially nowadays when most games play pretty damn well. I mean, you rarely come upon a game that's just like, wow, this is trash.
Yeah.
So most of the time you're
sorry.
Most of the time you're just picking, you know, you're picking the best of the best. You're finding the people who do really subtle great work over the people who just give you the same bullshit all the time, you know.
Well, he almost seemed to be saying sometimes like he thinks that gamers, you know, that game critics, they play too many games, they're too enmeshed in games, and it's almost to me like you're saying that you know too much about games to be able to evaluate them correctly or objectively
smart.
Or for the consumer or something like that.
You play too many games, therefore you are not a gamer.
I don't think he was going that far. But
the one point that the guy makes that I think is pretty valid is that people don't have enough time.
Totally true.
And that is true. I think that, you know, when you get to this time of year and everyone is playing a million things, it's hard to give everything.
Which is why people need to release their goddamn games year-round. They always act like if it's not fall, it's not going to sell, but there have been plenty of summer games and stuff that have proven that otherwise.
Or even, in quarter one. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, why can't we do Q1? I would buy Q1
Q1's
games.
The new Q4.
Yeah, look at when Oblivion came out. It did fantastic, so, why not?
Instead, they're going to try and release, Resistance.
But from everything that I've ever heard, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're sort of guaranteed a big bump, no matter how it comes out in the end. The fall guarantees you a certain amount.
So release it in Q1 and then re-promote it in Q4.
The logic I've heard,
you're like speaking in queues.
Do your Game of the Year edition.
The logic that I've heard from publishers before is like it's better and more profitable to be number 20. In November than it is to be number one in March. Mm-hmm. You know,
true that.
Yeah,
that's the logic.
It's kind of hard to argue with that.
Well, I mean, it's probably going to be that way as long as games are $60. You know,
yeah,
it's not really something that people are just picking up on a whim at the supermarket. So,
Although if you go to Best Buy now, they definitely keep video games in like the impulse buy section, like when you're waiting in line to get to the register.
It's true.
Just a wall of games now. So I can't believe it.
His Force Unleashed example, I mean, is he basically trying to use that to say games that sell a lot are clearly good games and critics aren't seeing that? Is that?
I don't think that's what he's trying to say, because like later on in the comments he says also that my rant was aimed at trying to understand why the industry relies on Metacritic scores, which have no correlation to sales, but a direct correlation to developers' ability to get a game deal.
Boy, yeah, I agree with that.
Right, but that's totally...
I think Metacritic should be dragged out in the back alley and shot.
But that's totally, but that's totally not what the article said anywhere. Like, if he was trying to say that, he didn't say it at all. And it came off as though he was saying, you know, that The Force Unleashed is a good game and critics just don't get it. And that, you know, consumers really do get it and we're out of touch with consumers. That's what the article sounded like, even if that's not what he was trying to say. Yeah. Which, of course, I totally agree with. And, like, to your point, Robert, about, like, this whole everybody needs to average, you know, like, their opinions on games and why that's bullshit. Roger Ebert did a thing in the Chicago, in his paper today, Chicago Sun-Times, that was forwarded around the office. And
I read that.
It was really cool. And like even though I totally disagree with his opinion on games, but we can talk about that another time.
What does Roger Ebert know about games? Though, I mean,
but he did about say movies. About being a critic, like his number one rule was advise the readers well. This is not does not involve informing them. You'll love this, quote unquote. If I approached some guy in a restaurant and told him what he would love, I might get a bread basket in the face. Now, we must tell the readers what we ourselves love or hate. If we work for employers who think we should like more movies or like ordinary people like, we should make a donation in his name to the Anti-Cruelty Society.
That whole article was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I wish he would apply some of those standards to his opinions of games.
Well, I mean, you know, in his field, you know, he does good work, I think.
I respect
him as a movie critic.
I agree.
So, we wrapping this crap up?
I wanted to talk about how we all played Call of Duty the other night. It made me so happy.
Hold on. We had to talk about why Tina is so
happy. Oh, fine. Screw that. I hate you. Damn. I'm just sorry.
We played it on console,
I'm just kidding.
Though.
Yeah.
We can't really. Oh, wait. No. Is this good
grief? When did this become
or?
so staunchly PC podcast?
Since Ryan took over?
Boo. It should just be whatever we're playing. We all play PC games.
That is what it is.
Yeah, I know. I'm just giving
time. But why did you guys play Call of Duty and I didn't get an invite?
Because you're not on
my friends list.
You're not
why,
on my
why
either.
Am I not on your friends list?
That's a great question. We'll have to remedy that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll fix that tonight.
We did have some really good time, though. Like, we had like...
Yeah, we had enough that we were playing matches on our own.
Yeah.
So we weren't playing public matches.
Right.
Just
nice.
People we knew.
And then I just started griefing everybody just for the hell of it. Like, there was one match in Chinatown where, you know, when you first start a game, everyone's around you and you're running forward. And I was holding a grenade in my hand and I was like, come on guys, let's go. And right before it went off, your freaking roommate Anthony shot me in the head and saved you guys. I was pissed.
My roommate can always tell when Tina's up to no good because she puts away her gun and starts running open-handed. My roommate's like, nope.
Yeah.
My Ryan and Jay Fresh, who are my roommates, got really pissed off because they were on the other team after one game. And I use Last Stand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was pissing
me
off.
We were all on that other team, and I just kept on hearing Ryan be like, motherfucking Matt.
What is Last Stand?
What is that? I don't even know.
It's when, like, when you die, basically you end up on the ground and you have a limited amount of time with just your pistol. Mm-hmm. You can't move, but you're stuck there on the ground. Like,
if they shoot you again, you really die.
You really die. But basically, you're stuck on the ground with your pistol. So if you're firing at somebody and they hit you, you drop, and you just keep pulling the trigger, and your gun is sort of pointed towards them. Usually you have to re-aim a little bit. But if they're not paying attention, you can always take out the person who is trying to take out you.
Yeah.
Usually you die, like, 5 seconds later, and they get the points for it anyway, but...
Yeah,
but if your team's
revenge.
Smart, they shoot you before you die so that they don't get the points for it.
Hmm.
You team kill
hey,
intentionally.
I taught you that.
It's true. Tina's taught me all the cheapest tactics.
I know. Like, if you put a claymore here,
yeah,
it'll work.
All right.
Anyways, fine.
All right, well, maybe next time we'll talk about some Fallout 3.
I want to try playing it so we can get into that next week.
And I'm going to place an order from Newegg for my rig. I'm going to get those components together. Hopefully they will come sooner rather than later.
And I want Left 4 Dead.
And by the way, I would just like to point out that video cards are more confusing to me now than ever. Like, it's been, like, probably 3 years before since I looked at video cards, and Anthony forwarded me one, and it was like, oh, man, this seems like a really good card for the money.
They're that small? You can put them in an email now?
Yeah. Isn't it awesome?
And so, man, everyone loved that joke.
Wow.
If
it doesn't say NVIDIA, don't get it.
Well, no, it's a really good card, but I was like, I lost the link because it was in my IM, and I turned off my IM, and then I lost it, and so I went back to Newegg to try to find it, and I found, like, 12 cards that all had the same name, all had the same specs and the same tagline, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
just get the cheap
are they
one.
All really different? And they were some of them, like, they literally had the same spec sheets, but one was $500 and one was $320. I was like, what the hell is the difference?
It's called a deal. Go with the $320. What the fuck, man? Just look at the comments. Are people saying this shit is broke?
You should always, not, then anytime, you one. Should always read the 1-star comments before you read the 5-star ones.
Yeah.
Because the 1-star ones are always the most interesting and, like, probably well-written ones, as opposed to the people that are just like, love it because I bought it.
Yeah, I love everything I buy.
So Anthony has been a big help to me in this process.
Mm-hmm. AMD graphics cards?
There are some AMD graphics cards that are good. Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially if you want to run Crossfire or something. And, well, you know.
Cool.
Mm. AMD's not terrible by any means.
I know. I just tried
to
make...
Are you an NVIDIA fangirl?
No, I just thought, you know, I was going to make a funny review joke. Like, AMD's, you know, like the... special.
I met some very nice AMD people, so I will not. I cannot condone this joke.
I want to hear Ryan's. Yeah.
On that note,
we're out.